Father, I invite your spirit to be here with us today, that our hearts be prepared to receive your word. We thank you for the gift of your son and love that was poured out for us on Calvary's cross. And so I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Why is peace so difficult to achieve? There are a variety of reasons, of course, but few answers. And the way to achieve peace seems more like a far-off dream. As I once read, countries don't go to war, leaders of countries go to war. But this is not only true with countries, it is true with cultures, societies, communities, the workplace, and even in our own homes. Peace just seems to be an elusive endeavor. Where does one begin with peace? You know, I remember vividly the day when I was searching for peace. I was not in a particularly good place emotionally or spiritually. I was really struggling. It seemed all my relationships were strained. I thought I had relationship with God. Turns out I was just fooling myself. I was bitter, cold, indifferent, and frankly, a lonely person. Then one day I was journaling and half-heartedly praying, and the Lord just reached into my life that caused me to write frantically. And the words that poured out was God's love for me. It was truly a moment I hope I never forget. And I remember heading into work the next day, walking towards my office, and I looked up and I could not get over how blue the sky was. It was just incredible. And every color around me just seemed to stand out. That day I knew of God's peace. I felt lighter, happier, hopeful, and excited to see where God was going to lead me. But it was peace that I knew assured me of my relationship with God. Now, that is not to suggest that nothing bad will ever come from that point forward. I have my share of ups and downs, and I know I'll have plenty more. What I'm saying is that God's peace was with me that day, and it remains with me today, despite those ups and downs. And I realized peace began with me, and it begins with you. And this is the subject of my homily today, understanding Paul, peace with God. Last week we looked at Paul's argument for God's promise to us, ensuring our standing with God by imputing his righteousness to his faithful people. That righteousness is not achieved by works, but rather we are justified by faith in God. And as we open up Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 5, and we look at verses 1 through 11, we read that because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. But what exactly does that mean, we have peace with God? Does this mean we simply believe and everything is good with the world? Well, you know, with my experience, that was not the case. So there must be more to this. Firstly, it's important to know that we have peace with God because through Christ, we are accepted and can be sure of our standing before God. Again, not because of what we have done to merit God's favor, which is what I was struggling with, but through the cross of Christ by his grace. Our faith assures us of our standing with God. Yet Paul further says we have access into his grace and we can rejoice in the hope of God's glory. This reminds me of a story of a little boy who was standing outside of a great castle and he wanted to see the king who was inside. The guard, however, shrugged the boy away and dismissed his request. While wiping his tears, a kind man came along and asked the child why he was crying. The little boy replied that he wanted to see the king but could not get past the guards. The man said, "Come, take my hand. I will take you to see the king." In amazement, the boy took his hand, and as they walked past the guards, they all stood at attention, displaying their utmost respect. They entered through the great door, up the regal staircase, and headed down towards several hallways, and finally the little boy was standing before the king. This little boy had access to the king because the hand he was holding was the hand of the king's son. It is a wonderful thing to have access to the Father when you are holding the hand of the Son. We can rejoice, therefore, as Paul says, in the hope of the glory of God, that one day our bodies too will be glorified, just as Christ's body was glorified. But Paul says that we are not only rejoiced with the hope of God's glory, the glorification of our bodies, which is a future reality, but we can rejoice now, even through our suffering. Now, this might strike us as odd, as an odd thing, but our joy of knowing that salvation is a reward of being justified by God moves us by the power of the Holy Spirit into mature faith, which means that despite our challenges, we learn to endure hardship, and this endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope is what we all aspire to behold, our redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong here. I am not of the opinion that we are to toughen up and pull ourselves together when there are real stressors and mental health crises happening. It would be foolish to suggest that all to pull someone out of a crisis to simply get it together or get over it. In such cases, it is wise to seek a health professional. We all have different ways of coping with life's challenges. But this does not diminish in any way what Paul is saying about suffering. Suffering, when we allow it to process properly, it is a hope that says that though my life is filled with all kinds of trouble, difficulty, and heartache, I will not let adversity deter me from the love of Jesus, nor will it cause me to reevaluate my relationship or my standing with God, who is worthy to be trusted. And by the word hope, as it's defined in the Greek, it is not something that's wished for. Rather, it's a knowing. Hear me. It's a knowing that what waits at the end exists, and I can trust in it. Paul said to the Corinthian church, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." In other words, the sufferings of God's saints are not because God is uncaring or flippant, but that the resurrected life of Jesus through our hardships are a witness to others as we endure our sufferings to keep trusting God. And you might question that through your own hardships and experience, you have every right to be angry and upset over your situation. But that is the whole point of the message, that as we receive God's grace into our lives and grow to trust in Him, we begin to develop a mature faith, that in the face of tribulation, we develop endurance, or perhaps the better word is patience. And with patience, we take upon the characteristics of Christ, and the character produces hope. Hope that does not put us to shame from a world that rejects God, but the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love permeates through every fiber of our being, transforming our lives to become more like Jesus. Our part in this is that we agree to it and trust it. And as we do, our lives will change. That is why Paul says there is no shame, because the world does not have power over the soul. Your difficulties have no power over the soul. Your anxieties have no power over the soul. Our faith in Christ justifies us before a holy God, and this hope assures our salvation at the appointed time. And though we may seem alien to the world, that is because we are. We are sojourners. We pitch our tent here temporarily, but our residence, our home, is with God. Secondly, the peace of God is by unconditional love for us, the gift of His Son, our Savior. That while we were weak, while in the Greek really means incomplete, Christ died for the ungodly. So when we talk about peace or wholeness, which is what the word shalom, or in the Greek, means Irene. Anyone here named Irene, by the way? Your name means peace. It means to be whole. The opposite of this is to be fractured or impotent or, by implication, incomplete. Thus, we can read this passage this way. While we were not weak, but while we were incomplete, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Furthermore, Paul says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to briefly pause here for a moment, because the word weak, which I just gave, right, means incomplete. The word sinner, most look at this word and think, well, it's a word that means we're guilty, right, or rotten people. That is not what the word means. The etymology of the word in Greek is hamartia, which is equivalent in the Latin ero, which gives us our word what? Error. The word sin or error is commonly expressed to say that we simply missed a mark. But that is not altogether true. There is more to just missing the mark. When a bowman shoots his arrow, his intention is to hit a mark. That is, the arrow is supposed to go where the bowman directed it. When the arrow deviates from its objective, it's called sin. God created humanity with a purpose. It had a path, an objective. Yet because we deviated or wandered, we sinned from that purpose. Christ died so that we could reach or attain what we were truly made to be, whole, complete, which is the purpose of life. This is why we hope in our resurrection. We were meant to live, to be fully human the way God had intended. This is why Jesus says in John 14:6, when he speaks to his disciples and he says, they say to him, where are you going? He says, where I'm going, you cannot yet follow, but you will follow me. Jesus is referring to his death, but also to his resurrection. New life. This is why you hear that famous phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Finally, Paul reiterates once again for us in a different way that we are justified by the blood of Christ. But much more than that, we are saved from the wrath of God. When Paul wrote to the Colossians church, he said this, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Making peace. Making us whole and complete by the blood of Jesus. Paul further says that God's love is so much more, that is one thing to love us while we are enemies by sending us his Son and being reconciled to him by his death. But so much more now that through Jesus we shall be given life. Christ not only saved us from the penalty of sin, but gave us his life to save us from the power of sin. And one day, as we see the glory of God and raised into new life with him, shall save us from the presence of sin. My friends, how do we achieve peace? We begin by making peace with God. It is not that God is at war with you. but we are at war with him. So make peace. He longs for you. Whatever your circumstances, no matter how far you have wandered the path, God is patiently waiting for you to return to him. Like the prodigal son in Luke's gospel, the father gave everything to his wayward son. But patiently and only with love in his heart did he anxiously wait for his return. And when the father saw his boy afar off, came running towards him. This is our God. Be at peace with the Lord. If this is something that has touched you today, I will be happy to talk with you and pray with you. Or we have our prayer warriors who would be more than happy to spend time with you after communion. And finally, I want to say from the very bottom of my heart, I want to thank you, St. James, for allowing me to preach God's words these last few 2 years. I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been for me and for Michelle. And we love you dearly. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks to your Son, our Savior, Jesus, who bore your wrath so we can have peace with you, that through Jesus we have life and shall be made anew, to be truly human as you intended. Thank you for your love for us, that you are not at war with us, that you desire us, and you invite us now to come into your presence. And I pray for any who have not yet given their life to you now, I pray they make peace with you. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.